the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. And we are here with you every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. What, Margaret?
I think you should share with the audience what you just said to the online audience.
No, I will not.
Well, why not?
Because I will not do it. I'm just not going to do it. I'm just telling you right now I'm not going to do it. There are some things that are best left unsaid, okay?
Well, I thought it was fascinating. Phil was giving everyone a lesson in the economics of syndicating a radio show.
No, I was just basically giving everybody a background on how the business has progressed, if you want to call it progressed. Now, before we get Debbie Daly in here...
Well, I just think it would be great because a year... Well, you said 10 years ago...
Never mind. Margaret, don't. Okay?
I'm going to tell everybody what he makes on the radio.
No, no, I'm not going to say that. But you... made a significant amount of money. All right, if you want me to shut up, I'll shut up.
I made a significant amount of money. 5 years ago, I was not making a significant amount of money with this past syndication company, and today I pay to have my show syndicated. Now, we're doing fine because we have a flourishing online business. No thanks to the company that I had been with for the last 6 years. We're doing fine. However, I was just giving a lesson in the economics of how it's changed in the radio world. It's weird beyond all imagining. It's weird beyond all imagining, and I think it's just very funny because the last company that I was with, the guy says, Phil Hendry is iconic. Well, this iconic host that you're listening to, ladies and gentlemen, has gone from... paradigm to the extreme of the other, you know, where I'm now. I guess you could say because I'm in business for myself, that's what you do. You self-syndicate. But this is a business that cannot afford me. So I go ahead and I syndicate my own show. And you know what? I'm happier doing it this way. So I wasn't really making the point to say, oh, wow, poor me. I'm saying that this is how things have changed, you know.
And Phil had said to you he didn't want to talk about it, Margaret, and you went ahead and you said it anyway. And I love and respect what you do, Margaret, but were you married to me, I'd slap your face.
No, how dare you...
Hey, watch it.
Well, I think...
Watch it, General, come on.
Anytime, General, anytime, day or night, twice on Sunday.
Oh, that's a good fight.
Hey, what? You guys didn't tell me you're going to throw down...
I'm not afraid of the old man. I'm not afraid of some old man in off-the-rack Target.
Hey, yeah, off-the-rack Target. You know, and I'm not afraid of some woman with off-the-rack breasts. So,
you dirty...
Hey! What's so funny?
You two!
Off-the-rack...
Hey, why don't you go... You guys want to have a fist fight? Go outside.
I wouldn't waste... I don't want to hurt the old man.
Oh, you're not going to hurt me. Don't worry about it. I just hurt your feelings, though, didn't I?
Why don't you blow your nose, okay?
What do you mean, blow my nose?
I just hurt your feelings, didn't I?
All right, come on. Debbie Daly, I think we can all agree.
I love Debbie.
And I do, too.
All right, great.
Yeah, I think Debbie's cool.
What about you, Robert?
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, she's good.
All right. Debbie Daly has long been a morning fixture in public radio. She has been the morning host of Daly's Daily for the last 5 years. And Debbie is also the first hearing-impaired host in the history of radio, I think, to certainly make the kind of splash that she's made, to actually have the kind of impact that she's had, and to have the success, I would say, the relative success that she has had. From Washington, D.C. this evening, we are very happy to bring on the line Debbie Daly. And Debbie, once again, congratulations on your continued success, but you are here to talk with us about something else tonight, correct? You're going to talk about cheese platters. Now, I was talking about this.
He was laughing about it, Debbie.
Well, no, I wasn't saying that. I was... And I know that you folks are having a hard time.
Did you say that Phil's laughing about her trying to pinch one off after eating the cheese?
Shut your mouth.
Come on, bud.
Yeah, you did.
Well, what did you say? You did say pinch one off, but you didn't want us to repeat it. All right, let's quit being childish about this. Do you eat a lot of cheese?
Can I ask a question at this point?
Yeah.
Am I going to have to sit and listen to this? Could you put her on hold, please?
Debbie, hold on, okay? Okay, what do you want?
What do I want? I wanted to ask you, do I have to sit and listen to this mumbling? What are you people doing?
Well, she's hearing impaired.
Well, I understand that, but are you trying to tell me with a straight face you understand her?
Yeah, we understand her. We've listened to her, you know.
It's probably because we've been listening to her for a long time.
Well, there you go, bingo. Give the man a cigar. Pin a ribbon on his on the thing that he wears, you know.
On my lapel?
Yes, pin a ribbon on him because he just answered the 64,000 question. You're trying to tell me that mumbling woman, you understand?
Yes, we do, and I'm sorry that you don't. And probably the audience is having a hard time too. Do you think?
Oh yeah, just a little bit. You got to be putting me on. This is what she sounds like. That's all I'm hearing.
No, General, I think she's a lot clearer than that.
No, I sort of understand the General. Well, what would you like us to do?
Let me ask her. You know, I've had service around the world. I've spoken to a great many different indigenous peoples, and I have used a great many indigenous people for intelligence gathering and so forth. I think I'm very good at understanding that. I'm not saying that Ms. Daly is some kind of a native that just swung on a vine out of a tree, but she's close from the standpoint of the way she talks.
Well, but you're not saying she's some sort of uncivilized, just ape woman.
No. I'm just saying that the way she talks sounds a great deal like some of the Stone Age people we dealt with in Papua New Guinea and places like that.
But Papa.
What's that?
What about Papa?
Papua New Guinea is the name of a country.
Papua New Guinea.
Oh.
So, go ahead. Yes, Ms. Daly, this is General Shaw. Is that right? Well, tell me about the cheeses now, because I'm very interested. My wife, Patsy, we love a good cheese platter. Yes? Okay, go on. Yes, I do.
Oh, you know,
All right, that'd be great. Okay.
She just asked you if you like nose cheese, and you said yes.
What the hell is nose cheese?
It's made from the nose of a goat.
Oh.
See, you don't understand her, so why even messing around with it, okay? Debbie, listen, the cheese platters that you're talking about, and I liked what you said. You have to get organized, right? You have to have all the right stuff laid out. You mentioned make sure your serving board is large enough to comfortably hold everything. You arrange the cheeses and encourage the guests to sample from them in the order of the mildest to the strongest. Now, what's the strongest cheese?
Limburger, yes, that would be very, very strong.
I do people serve that stuff? Blue cheese smells bad, yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting the blue cheese smells just like a turd, too.
Oh, do you have to make those comparisons?
Well, it is.
Yeah, they do. All right, hold on, Debbie. We got to take a break here on the Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back apparently General Shaw, man, you're lost, aren't you?
Huh? Well, yes, I'm lying. I don't know what the hell anybody's saying. And she's talking about nose cheese.
All right, we're going to be back here on the Phil Henry Show with Debbie Daly, General Shaw, and the rest of us here talking about cheeses for your party platter for Thanksgiving. Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Debbie Daly with us from Daly's Daily, the public radio show. And talking about cheese, and I appreciate you, Robert, booking the segment, and Margaret for helping us, Bud. And General, I don't blame you for not being able to understand, Debbie. Debbie, because you're hearing impaired, it's difficult for some people to understand you. I know that your audience understands you. Maybe doing a segment on cheeses is a little ambitious. I'm not talking about you being constipated from cheese. I'm talking about going into the specifics of how to lay out a party platter, you know. Well, it's hard to understand. Now, hold on. I understood that. You said just because this guy doesn't understand me doesn't mean we close down the carnival. Is that what you said? Well, I don't think it's right that you, by the way, you have my utmost admiration. Wow, is she allowed to say that? Debbie, watch your language, okay? Are you kidding me? Did you hang up on her? Yes, I did. You know, sometimes she gets out of control. Did you dump it, Bud?
Well, I mean, why should I dump it?
No one understands it except us.
Well, I sure understood that. Boy, she let out with the MF, the F, the CS, there are a couple of... Is there an R word or a Q?
R word.
Well, she did use some four-letter words. But you're understanding her. That's my point. You're understanding her. After just a few minutes on the air with her, you understand what she's saying.
Well, I'm understanding what she's saying, and let me tell you something, my friend. I don't like it. Okay? I understood what she said, and I don't like what she called me, and I sure as hell don't like the way she lays out a party platter. Now, what do you think about that, Debbie? If it was my home, I'd do it completely different, and I wouldn't put Limburger out there either. Can you imagine someone putting out Limburger? Yeah, go ahead and laugh, funny man.
Well, you're the guy with the cracking voice.
Yeah, get some more water, huh?
How much water can I drink, for God's sake?
You ought to drink as much as you need to, General.
You drink... Don't drown.
Oh, no, I won't drown. Yeah, I bet you'd love to see me drown.
All right, General Galen. Should I keep saying Johnson Jameson? That, a fixture from the Art Bell Show of years gone by. That's General Galen Shaw, who's now out getting another glass of water because his voice is cracking. Alec Baldwin has responded. Margaret, did you...
Well, this is an interesting article here, and I wanted to get Doug Danger on because GLAAD has also made a statement. Doug Danger, who is with the Orange County Courier, and I think Doug is a very, very good individual to have comment on this because Doug is gay. He is a, as he likes to say, a gay man and a gay journalist. Doug Danger joining us from Santa Ana. Doug, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Margaret. Thank you for having me on.
What do you make of the Alec Baldwin story, the cancellation and so forth?
I think Alec Baldwin is a very colorful personality. And again, I want people to understand they're hearing this from a gay man and a gay journalist. And as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I don't lie. I'm not trying to tell people something that doesn't exist. But I think Alec Baldwin ought to be allowed to stay on the air. I don't think the guy is homophobic. I think he's against people following him around with cameras and bothering him. Now, he came out with the F word, which, of course, is an offensive word to gay people. But as a gay man and a gay journalist, I'm here to tell you that if we don't have an Alec Baldwin to cover, and we don't have an Alec Baldwin to follow around and take pictures of, we don't have an Alec Baldwin's career... then we are less one of the brighter lights in the firmament of gossip columns, of entertainment columns, of the controversial aspects of the NTM business. Now, I'm a gay man, gay journalist, and I'm thinking about running for political office because this platform that I have as a gay man and a gay journalist working for this little newspaper that I work for is not big enough. I'd like to go to bat for guys like Baldwin. He's big, he's dumb, he's straight, but we can use a guy like this. Because now this guy's pliable. That I don't think the gay community understands.
Now, what do you mean by pliable?
I mean that this guy now will bend over backwards or bend over frontwards or whichever way he needs to bend over to please the gay community, to make sure that he's not perceived as a homophobe, and make sure he's not perceived as some kind of a gay-bashing, two-bit, thick-necked thug, some slob that's running around trying to beat people up and bust the camera over top of their head. I'm a gay man, gay journalist, and as such... I am an individual who I think is eminently qualified to comment on these things.
Well, you do sound like you're running for office.
You do, Doug. What's with the new stridency in your message?
I don't think there's anything strident about it. I think what's going on here, if I may, and I know General Shaw, you know, you fought for this country, General Shaw, you and other great veterans. You didn't fight for a country that is going to turn around and become so politically correct that we don't understand where a man has been. I think a man has fallen into some bad habits, not because he's a homophobe, but because he's been chased around, family's been threatened, got some little jive-ass little monkey with a camera, you know what I'm saying?
Well, Doug, I understand when you say there's some jive-ass monkey with a camera following this thick-necked slobbera. I don't know about Alec Baldwin. I don't know anything about him. I wouldn't know him if he passed out and died in front of me. I would simply step over him and get to the nearest phone if I could. I'll make a quick 911 call, but I sure as hell wouldn't be late for any ball game. So,
No, I understand. I'm the same way, and I know who he is. And I'd react the same way. But I think he is still a very valuable asset to the journalistic community in terms of what he gives us to cover. Now, I know what he said, and I know it's supposedly homophobic. I don't believe the guy's a homophobe.
Well, let me ask you something, Danger. If a guy comes up to you and calls you a dirty word, calls you the F word, or calls you some kind of a sissy boy or a queer or something like that, what do you do?
What do I do? I do what anybody would do. I grab that guy by the lapels, I bounce his head off a brick wall about 3 times, and then just let go and see him slide down the wall. That's what I do.
So in other words, you'd beat him up?
I'd beat him up the way Doug Danger would beat a guy up, man. I'm not going to get my... Tell you what, right now, I'm not going to get my hair mussed over it. I grab a guy, bounce his head off the wall, bounce his head off the hood, open up the hood of the car, put his head in, and slam the hood down about 3 times until he slithers down the front grill. Something like that. As a gay man, gay journalist...
All right, hold on. So what do you say to that, General?
Well, what do I say to that? I say that that's a very sensible response.
Well, you're encouraging a sort of a violent confrontation then between the gay community and people like Alec Baldwin. And I don't think there is a confrontation between Alec Baldwin and the gay community. I think there is a confrontation between Alec Baldwin and these insufferable journalists.
You know, I got to agree with that, because I think that Alec Baldwin's not so much a homophobe, although he may have the standard homophobia a lot of straight guys have. I'm a gay man, gay journalist, I know.
Hey, okay, well, I want to ask you something, Doug. You're, like, going really fast and doing kind of a sing-songy thing. Are you into some kind of a mode here?
Well, listen, I told you about this, that I've got my rap down, I've got my pitch down. I know all of the stories, I know all the angles, I know all the approaches, and so now I just flip on a switch, and I go into a kind of an automatic mode. It doesn't matter what the story is. I'm gay man, gay journalist, and I go into an automatic mode.
So, hold on for a minute. This is not a tape recording we're hearing, is it?
Why would you say it's a tape recording?
Because it almost sounds like it's a tape recording. I'm a gay man, gay journalist. You know,
there is something rather sing-songy about it, Doug.
No. Let me just explain something to you. I mentioned this to Robert and to Bud before I went on the air. The fact that I've got my ideas, I've got my opinions, and I've got my pitch down about a dozen or two dozen kinds of stories that I'm able to go ahead and pitch, and I'm able to go ahead and give my opinion and make it in a very, very, pre-planned kind of, maybe it sounds sing-songy, but I got the whole thing down, so I'm a kind of matter-of-fact about it. Well, my opinion's going to come out like that, and I think it makes it a lot easier on me. I'm gay man, gay journal.
You're a gay man and a what?
I said gay man, gay journalist. I'm sorry, I went too fast.
Well, you went so fast, this is what it sounded like. I'm a gay man, gay journal.
Yeah, sometimes I speed the word up so much you lose the last 2 seconds of it.
So you have your opinion and your rap down so well on no matter what the opinion that it just comes out. It almost sounds as if you aren't even thinking about what you're saying, and...
Well, no, you don't really think about it because you already know what you're going to say. So it comes out like that because I know what I'm going to say. I'm listening to what everybody else is saying, but I want to get it out in a very nice way, gay man, gay journal.
You're doing it again, man.
Well, I'm sorry. I'll slow it down. Gay man, gay journalist.
Yeah, you got to slow it down because it's coming out gay man, gay journal.
Well, what? I don't understand. What is this supposed to prove?
That doesn't prove anything, General. All I'm saying is Alec Baldwin's one of these guys who I think is an entertainer. He is of far more value to us if he's working than he is sidelined or he's cut out of the mix. Now, Alec Baldwin's taking his lumps from GLAAD, and I'm not a big fan of GLAAD. I'm a gay man, gay journalist, and I'm not a big fan of GLAAD, which is the Gay and Lesbian Anti-Alliance of a Deal of... I don't know what it means.
Gay and Lesbian Alliance of Anti-Defamation.
No, that's not what... That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. It's the Gay and Lesbian Association of Anti...
Well, no, I'm telling you, I know what it was, and I just gave it to you. Hold the line. Doug Danger with us, who is so in control of his opinions now, so in control of what his opinions are going to be and what it is he wants to say, that it's just coming out like, gay man, gay journalist, blah, 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 blah. It's like a memorized recording or something.
What was he saying there about the anti-defamation?
GLAAD, Gay Lesbian Alliance Against Discrimination. That's what it is.
Well, no, that doesn't sound right.
That sounds better than anything anybody's said here.
No, it's Gay and Lesbian Association Against the Defamations.
Get out of here. We'll be right back.
I always understood it was the...
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're online at philhendryshow.com as well. Earlier tonight, we had on Jimmy Pardo. Jimmy, one of the really terrific new breed of comics, utilizing the web, the World Wide Web, for his audience, for people who are fans of his, so he can reach out and communicate and entertain his fans. And Jimmy has the podcast. And if you go to podcast.com on Friday, between noon and midnight, you will hear the Podcast-a-thon, fifth year, from the Acme Theater on La Brea in Los Angeles. It's an outstanding evening of comics, of entertainment. It's 12 solid hours. The theater is sold out, but you can hear it and watch it online at podcast.com. And the donation that you make to the Smile Train goes to heal a kid from an impoverished country, an impoverished child from a poor country. It goes to gain this child surgery to correct the cleft palate that a lot of these kids are born with, the split upper lip that you see so many photographs of. $250. I was talking to Jimmy about this, and that's all it takes. $250 gets the surgery that corrects this child's appearance, that changes his life. And I got to tell you, it's awesome. And he got into this, man, just looking at an ad one day in the newspaper and looking at the numbers, basically $250, that's how much the surgery costs. And I was kidding with Jimmy. I said, you know, that's, for some people, that's a night out with your wife, or, you know, maybe a couple of nights out with your wife, or one night out with your wife, depending upon the wife.
Frank doesn't spend anything. Well, I shouldn't.
Margaret, we know that Frank spends a lot of... Phil's making a point here.
I just want people to know that my husband spends a good deal more.
That's great, Margaret, because Frank's got money.
Well, it isn't so much that. I don't think a man should spend less than $300 for a date.
Wow, I mean, some guys haven't got that, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Some guys haven't got that. I'm sorry. Anyway, to make a long story short, so $250 is all that it takes, so check out the Podcast-a-thon. It's on Friday. It starts at noon. I'll be on the air with the guys at 1:50. Be heading on over to the theater on La Brea. Just spend my time there. And then, as Jimmy said, we kick all you bums out because you haven't got tickets anyway. And I said, thank you very much, Mr. Pardo. He said, you're welcome.
They're going to kick you out.
Well, no, but I got, you know, there's a lot of cats that are going to be coming in and out and in and out and in and out all through the thing. But I would really encourage you to go and to watch. Either watch or listen at podcast.com, the Podcast-a-thon on Friday starting at noon.
Hey.
And then, of course, after you do that, head on over to philhendryshow.com and get your backstage pass, and you can watch us every night as we perform our show. And we do have on Thursday, we will have a Game of the Week with Steve Bozell and Bud Dickman. They will be doing the Raider Cowboy game on Phil TV in HD, which the HD part doesn't matter because it's only the audio, but we'll be delivering it to you there on Phil TV. That is the Raider Cowboy game Thursday afternoon, Thanksgiving afternoon, our game of the week, as Steve Bozell has been given permission by his wife to now start doing these games again on a limited basis. And we've got Steve on the line with us to talk about that. And I don't want to embarrass you, Steve, and I know it is embarrassing to have to come on the air and talk about a wife that's allowing you to...
I mean, you know, let's be clear here. I run my home. I've got pants, and I put them on.
What does that mean, you have pants and you put them on?
Margaret, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to be able to get a few minutes out here with Mr. Henry in the audience before you start, you know, emasculating me or...
No, you said something I didn't understand.
Margaret, let me... What did that mean, Steve?
What did what mean?
You have pants and you put them on.
I have pants. I'm sorry. What I meant to say was I wear the pants. My wife wears pants, but I wear the pants. You know what I'm saying about that?
Yeah, you wear the pants in the family.
Yes, sir. That's exactly right. I wear the pants, and if my wife wears pants, they're probably, you know, bicycle shorts. You know, those that kind of girdle that they wear underneath. You ever seen that?
Yeah. No, I know what you're talking about.
All right. So that's what she's doing. But I mean, my whole point is that I've got shorts that I'm not shorts, but I'm wearing slacks. And
yeah, you're wearing the pants in the family. So the question then is, why did your wife tell you you were no longer allowed to do the game of the week?
What?
If you wear the pants in the family, why didn't she let you?
Hey, Dickman, you know, I don't need to hear from you. I got to listen to you in a football game, you know.
Well, this is General Shaw, Steve. I don't want to crowd you or anything, but I think it's a very good question, young man. Why are you being directed by your wife either not to do this game or to do the game?
Well, because she said, and I feel that, you know, she was right about it, that I'm going out and doing all kinds of stuff on weekends, and I'm not with the family. And I said, okay. And she then said, I now command you to, you don't get to go out. And I said that it would make me look like a fool. And she said that she didn't care. And she told me that I wasn't allowed to go and do the game. And I said to her, you're going to embarrass me. And she said, I don't care. And I said, okay, then I've got to call Dolores Plaza game and file a lawsuit. She said, go ahead. And that's like, are you kidding me or something?
And she said, go ahead and sue her.
Yeah, I said, you know, honey, that I'll need to call Dolores because I got her on retainer to file a lawsuit against you, my wife, my own wife. And you want me to do that? And she goes, yeah, go ahead. Ha ha. And she went back to mixing up some of the funkiest. I don't even know what that was. It was so funky.
Well, I found out later it was their oatmeal cookies. She said she told you and you didn't know what it was.
I didn't know what that was. And she's making that and telling me go ahead and sue me. And I said to her, you understand? And she kept her back to me the whole time while she's mixing these oatmeal cookies and she's putting raisins in them, which, man, if there's one thing everyone knows, raisins and oatmeal cookies are, that's death on wheels. And so I said, okay, I'll take that as an insult too.
What, so you're talking to your wife. This is, I'm sorry, Steve, what's your wife's name?
Yes, sir. My name's Steve Bozell.
No, what is your wife's name?
What's your wife's name?
Oh, my wife is April.
All right. And while April was making these oatmeal cookies, you were talking to her and you were protesting the fact that she had denied you the right to go do the football game.
Yes, that's exactly right. She said, you're not going to do the game. And I said, how come? And she said, because you need to spend time at home with the family. Now, all of this is being said to me with her back to me as she's making oatmeal cookies. She's wearing an apron. And my daughter, April Jr., is standing there helping her mother, and she's licking the mixing twirlers, you know.
What are the mixing twirlers?
They're the blending blades.
On the mixer?
Yeah, you know how they twirl around? Yeah, and my daughter's licking on those. My wife and her are talking about, you know, band practice and getting curlers in her hair. And oh, yeah, by the way, Steve, you don't get to go to a football game. And I said to her, you can't stand there with your back to me. And I'm begging you. And I got down on my knees at one point. And I'm ashamed that I ever did.
Tell me that you didn't do that. Please, in the name of... Tell me that you didn't get down on your knees. Tell me you didn't do that.
I'm sorry, General, and I can hear the strain in your voice. I did.
You got down on your knees... And you begged your wife.
More water for the general.
Yeah, General.
God.
Yeah, well, so she's continuing to make oatmeal cookies. Then she pulled down the chocolate chip mix, and she said she's going to start in on a batch of them. And I said, you got to be putting me on. I'm begging. I'm pleading with you. You can't say that I can't do the football game. And she's just going along and making chocolate chip cookie. Now she starts in on a Pillsbury 7-layer.
Was all afternoon she was baking?
Yeah, all afternoon she's baking with my daughter. There she made the oatmeal cookies, chocolate chip. Now she starts in on a Duncan Hines 7-layer chocolate cake. And I said, "Are you listening to me?" She said, "Steve, I've been listening all afternoon." I said, "I'm pleading with you. I'm," and I was crying, and I even started to beat my fist into the floor. And she made a 7-layer, and then she started in and made a meatloaf. And not one time throughout the entire afternoon did she turn around and look at me. Her back was to me the whole time.
Steve, that's a no, man. That's just a no.
Well, how come she gets to?
She just says, she said no. Obviously, you guys have the kind of relationship where there is one or the other person is able to lay the law down, and that's been the accepted way that you guys have had of making decisions, and so that's what she did. And for some reason, you know, you decided to try to fight against it, but you didn't do it effectively.
Well,
I mean, that's what it sounds like to me, man. It sounds like that's you guys have been doing that your whole marriage, that one of the... Do you ever lay the law down like that?
No, I don't. I mean, no, of course I don't. She knows, and I know, and everyone on the street knows. And Roy Hutchins and all the pertinent players know that she's the one that lays the law down, and I'm about as effective as a G-string in a snowstorm.
You're about as what?
He said a G-string in a snowstorm.
Look, I know you're upset, and I know that you wanted to do the game, but now you're allowed to do the game, right?
Yeah, I'm allowed to do the game, but I had to...
You had to what?
I had to, for a bachelorette party, she forced me to take some photographs. She went and got those pleasure pops that I told you about.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And she thought it'd be real funny to take photographs of me, you know, sucking one.
So your wife wants to torment you.
So who is she going to show these to?
The girls at the bachelorette party.
Well, you better make sure that none of those photographs fall into the hands of you-know-who.
No, I know.
And so you had to stand there and pose for these gag photos so you could do the games.
Yeah, she said, "Here's some pleasure props, friend. You want to do a football game? Start sucking."
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh.
Oh, yes, you do.
No, I. All right, Steve Bozell, we'll talk to him off the air. Steven Bozell, along with Bud Dickman, they'll be doing the Game of the Week Thursday. It's the Cowboys, it's the Raiders, it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It is, what is it, man? I'll tell you what it is. It's Thanksgiving. That's what it is. Thanksgiving. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. So we'll be looking forward to that, Steve. And we're also going to be looking forward to the, as I mentioned, the podcast-a-thon on Friday. Back with more here on the Phil Hendry Show. All right, world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Woohoo! I was talking to a guy today, as a matter of fact, there's all kinds of stuff happening, you know. I was talking to a guy today, he says, you know, Pandora may start featuring live talk shows. iHeartRadio does. Pandora and some of these other all music services, you know.
Well, I don't understand. I don't even know what Pandora is. I know who Pandora was, but I don't know what Pandora is.
Well, it's a music service, General. It's got nothing to do. It's a new way that people have of accessing music.
Exactly. And there's a lot of different ways.
Well, is this part of the web?
Yeah, it's part of the World Wide Web.
And what are we doing now? Are we on a web or are we on the radio?
We're on both right now. We're on both. We're on the radio. We're on the web. We're doing a video cast.
So is that, are we on television?
Well, not television per se. No, this is a video cast, so it is a... It's a webcast. It's television for the web. It's not on any over-the-air TV.
But we're on over-the-air radio, but we're on a webcast, but not on TV. Oh, baby.
You can't figure it out right now. It takes a while to figure it out.
How long will it take me?
It could take years. I don't know. Don't worry about it. It's not that important.
Well, I think it is. I'm not going to come in here paddle it, just if not to be...
You're not paddling it, General. We are on the air.
You're okay.
What, do you think we're in here pretending? No. It's just, there's a multimedia thing happening now, man, and
You know, a lot of people don't like it when you call them man, and I didn't think I did until I heard you say, there's a lot going on, man. Please don't call me man.
Sorry. There's a lot going on, sir, and...
Yes, that's better.
Yes, sir. There's a lot going on. It's a multimedia approach, and it's getting very exciting. I'm enjoying it, and you should enjoy it. It's nothing to be upset about.
I just want to make sure it works.
Yes, it does work. Following the announcement, so let me get into this Alec Baldwin story, because I think with Doug Danger, it got a little scattershot. Doug trying his new approach, which is he's got his opinion down pat for about 20 different topics, and so everything is just, I'm Doug Danger, gay man, gay journalist.
I don't know if he hopes to. I don't know if that's going to play or not.
Yeah, it sounds kind of like guys all sing-song and everything about that.
Yeah, it does. It sounds very sing-songy. Plus, he's saying it so fast that it sounds like gay man, gay journal.
Well, what about that shorthand that people were doing for a while?
No, not on this show they don't. They were doing that in the Milwaukee Lion games, but no. By the way, Joe Dickhead and the professor will be with us on Wednesday, that's tomorrow night, to call there to pick the games for the coming weekend, because it's a big, long four-day weekend, games on Thursday. I don't know if there are NFL games on Saturday. They could very well be. I know that after the college season ends, the NFL sometimes moves their games to Saturday. There will be games on Sunday. And they will have picks for all of them.
And what is the formula this week?
The formula they told me this week is they're picking the team with the animal name to win. And if it's a team with two animal names, then it's the team with the, I think it's the team with the more ferocious animal. Something like, it's ridiculous. You know,
are these two jackballs that are... They're not doing too good, are they?
They didn't do well last week. They're 5-8. I think they're 20. I know what they're 5. They're 21-18.
21 wins.
Yeah, 21 wins and 18 losses in 3 weeks. They suck all kinds of.
All right, we understand. Yeah, so they'll be on tomorrow night and they can defend themselves, which I doubt seriously. They'll be able to do. All right, following the announcement that his MSNBC talk show Up Late with Alec Baldwin was canceled, I didn't know it got canceled.
Yes, it got canceled. You know, he was suspended, then it got canceled.
Well, it was canceled. The actor spoke out about the cancellation and the filmed incident that precipitated it, and one of his critics has responded. Baldwin, whose low-rated talk show ended just after 5 episodes. Now, that's very interesting. His low-rated talk show ended after 5 episodes. How, you know, that would be a joke in the radio. 5 shows and they know already that no one's watching it. I know that television has a pretty accurate and responsive way of gauging viewership. But I must tell you, MSNBC, nobody watches that network anyway. I mean, it's just been going on and on and on along the same lines for the longest time. It is a low-rated network. Maybe they've picked up a few viewers here and there because Fox has gone so radically to the right that they've got more viewers than they used to have, and maybe they think they're world beaters now. But I mean, I think it's pretty funny to say, what?
Would you?
You know, Phil, you're giving a speech again. I want.
Excuse me.
Well, yeah, do is get to it.
Baldwin, who's low rate, get to it.
Yeah, we'll find out about Alec Baldwin.
Yes, we want to know about Alec Baldwin, Phil. Then we'll listen to your little...
Yeah, we'll listen to your point of view.
Thank you. Baldwin, whose low-rated talk show ended after just 5 episodes, became a focal point of controversy after a videotaped altercation with a reporter on a New York street appeared to show the actor telling the reporter off using a gay slur. Though Baldwin has apologized for the comment, he has maintained that he never used a gay slur, but with the cancellation of his show, he's expressing frustration with those who criticized him, including GLAAD's Vice President of Communications, Rich Ferraro. Okay, I know how this goes. That was what he was asked to do, apologize. He did apologize, hoping that that would save the show, and it didn't save the show. So now he's coming out with both barrels. See, what you do is when you mess up, you act apologetic and you... And I'm not saying that this is fake. I think he means it, but he also wanted to save a show. So you're like, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Oh, God, are they going to cancel me? I hope not. Then when they do cancel you, you get really angry and you start saying all the things that you wanted to say, which were the following things. God, they want me to be controversial. They want me to be out there. They want me to be in people's faces. They want me to do this. They want me to do that. And when I do this and I do that, then they cancel us. They want us to walk right up to the line. They just don't know where the line is. They want us to be really controversial, but they don't want us to be too controversial, and they can't tell you which is which. They want ratings, and they'll die for ratings, and they'll do anything for ratings, and they'll do anything for advertisers. But when you go out there and really lay it on the line, they won't back you up. Now, that's pretty much the way it goes in radio and television. And I guarantee you that's exactly what's going through this man's mind after he finds out his show is canceled. Now, he said that he never used a gay slur. I watched that videotape, and...
Well, I saw it, and it looked like they had... I think they had put captions.
Yeah, they put a caption there, but it got sound like he said F-word.
It did to me, too. With the cancellation of the show, he's expressing frustration with those who criticized him, including GLAAD's vice president of communications. He said, quote, "You've got the fundamentalist wing of gay advocacy, Rich Ferraro and Andrew Sullivan. They're out there. They've got you," Baldwin told the website Gothamist. "Rich Ferraro, this is probably one of his greatest triumphs. They killed my show, and I have to take some responsibility for that myself." So he's already saying that he's been persecuted, you see, and that they had it in for him, and that this is all very, very normal. This is what happens. This is you get angry, you want to kill somebody, and that's just where that's at. So I've only got a few more seconds. Let me read. Ferraro responded to Baldwin with a statement of his own, writing, "I consider GLAAD's campaign to end the Boy Scout of America's ban on gay scouts, raise national visibility of the violence and inequality facing transgender people, and battling for marriage equality to be among my greatest triumphs. But if a teacher, coach, local radio host, or parent realizes that anti-LGBT slurs are outdated and unacceptable because of this Baldwin issue, I guess we'll call that a win." All right, so that was a pretty good little piece of,
That was a very self-promotion.
Absolutely. Phil Hendry Show.